Thank you, Katie. I apologize. I'm battling a little head cold, so if I sound a little stuffy, I apologize for that. Katie talked about our single site year locations for the potassium rate by placement trials. I'm going to talk about our multi-site year trials that we've done. We've had 7 locations, 3 years, 21 total site years, and a little bit different focus in terms of objectives. Still want to look at potassium rate and placement, but also want to look at some soil dynamics that are going on across the Cotton Belt. First, I want to reach out and thank the co-authors of the presentation. We have Bill Robertson at University of Arkansas, Darren Dodds at Mississippi State, Mike Jones at Clemson, Galen Morgan, Texas A&M, Katie Lewis, Texas A&M, Randy Norton at University of Arizona, Tyson, University of Tennessee, Gene Stevens at the University of Missouri, and then Bob Nichols of Cotton Incorporated, who funded this project, along with the previous sponsors that Katie mentioned. This picture right here is some potassium deficiency. This is one of the reasons I was interested in it. This was one of my first calls for cotton. And I got a call from an agronomist in the area, and he got to talking. This grower had bought into a foliar feed program. It's 2014, and he decided to go cut his potash rates in half and go with a strictly a foliar feed potassium program. And he ended up, 2014, we averaged across the state 1,240 pounds, and we're all dry land. There's some irrigated cotton, but 99% of our land is dry land. And he was still picking 1,200 pounds, but guys around him were picking 2,000. And so he really lost out on his yield. And it turned out that this field was in the same field as one of my on-farm variety trials that I had with him. And he didn't tell me that he had done that before I put my variety test in there. So I was a little heated about that, but he's a good cooperator. But moving forward, so we know K deficiency has been cropping up around the Cotton Belt. There's some debate on whether it's plant demand, an inability of soil to supply that demand, or our soil test recommendations are a little antiquated, as Katie mentioned. So we wanted to reevaluate soil test recommendations, but we also want to look at how cotton in a 3-year study would draw down or mine potassium in soils across the Cotton Belt. And then we wanted to know also if these K application rates we were recommending were replacing that. So we went in the same plots, same footprint, the same plots, got 0 pounds of K2O per acre for 3 years. And then all the way up to 160 pounds of K2O per acre. And we wanted to look at drawdown, but also recommendations over time across different soil types. So Katie mentioned my 2016 single year site. This is actually the field, these two pictures right here. And I just wanted to point this out, put this in this presentation. So this was a sand soil. This was in late July, one of our check plots in it that we had in another study. This is actually a potassium study looking at a product called polyhalite. Late July into August, we got 0 inches of rain. The folks mentioned some talking about water dynamics, K uptake. We had complete defoliation within a month, and the bowls were actually cracking. We probably had 1 or 2 bowls per row foot, and which ended up being, I think our check plots in this study yielded 42 pounds of lint per acre. We actually took yield. My technicians weren't very happy with me. But for this multi-year study, we wanted to look at the drawdown, and I'm going to talk about 2 sites because this is a lot of soil data, a lot of potassium data. So I'm going to talk about the sites in Mississippi and the sites in Virginia because that's the one I have complete data set on for all 3 years. And we're going to look at how the soil fluctuations over time vary in this study. And then we wanted to quantify the impact on in-season development of cotton. So we took vigor ratings, plant heights. We took leaf tissue samples during the first and fifth week of bloom. And then we also took lint yield and quality. But I'm only going to talk about those 2 sites for soil data over the 3 years. And then I'm going to talk about 4 locations out of the 7 for lint yield because those are the 4 that I have complete lint yield data on. So experimental design, again, small plot, 3 years, 7 sites per year, 21 site years. Arizona, Arkansas, Missouri, Mississippi, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Virginia were the states. We looked at fluid K sources versus granular K, and then injected or banded versus broadcast systems. The K sources, the dry K was muriate of potash. Other than Arizona, they used sulfate of potash because of some of the salt issues that they might run into out there. And then the fluid sources were OO15, which is a fluid muriate of potash, and then potassium thiosulfate, which is OO2517S. And then we had five rates, 0 to 160 pounds K2O per acre. Four row plots, plot length and at each site and row width. Really, we left that up to the cooperator because different areas have different plot sizes, but at least four rows and probably 36 to 40 inch row spacing in the study across locations. So here's our map of where our locations were. We're fairly heavy in the Mid-South area, and then we have some in this eastern coastal plain, and then one out in Arizona on some little heavier textured land. So we took soil samples, just like Katie said, 0 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 24 inches in the spring prior to planting each year. So we did it in spring of 2015, spring of 2016, spring of 2017. We'll follow that up again this spring with another soil sampling to finish the project up. We took vigor ratings, leaf samples, determined in-season nutrient status. 7 days prior to defoliation, we came in, did plant height, nodes of first fruit and branch, and then nodes above crack bowl on 10 plants per plot, lint yield and quality. And then we used Proc-Glimix for ANOVA analysis. Alpha was set at 0.05, and then Sigma plot was used for regression analysis. But this is a repeated measure design, so when we did it, we used repeated measure treatment design with a factorial treatment design as well across years and locations. So this is for Virginia. So I broke this out looking at soil tests. We had 0 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 24 going down, and then broadcast versus injected. For the first year of the study, I have to go back and look, see if our 2014 site was on this location, but it seems like at 6 to 12, we did have a potassium rate response. The individual bars, black being 0, blue being 160, is the potash rates. We see that in the 0 to 6, in 2016, we really start to see in the broadcast that rate curve really show up in our soil samples. We don't see that in the deep sampling, but definitely in our broadcast treatments, whereas in our injected treatments, in 2016, we don't see that rate response show up in any depth in terms of being able to pick out the K2O rates, which would tell me this injected, if you don't hit that band, of that concentrated zone band, then you're probably not going to be very accurate on what was actually applied or the potassium history in our soils. And this is a loamy sand soil. It's probably about 2 to 3 feet deep, straight loamy sand. We're 10 days away from a drought, so we do have some potassium leaching. And this is, if you look at 2017, you see that we're about 2/3 of levels, our soil test K levels, Malic 3, in 2017. This is because we had a hurricane named Matthew came in the fall of 2016, dropped about 15 inches of rainfall over about a 2-week period. And we leached a whole bunch of potassium from the fall of 2016 to the spring of 2017 at this site. But we'll get into some yield discussion, but that did not seem to affect our yield response to potassium at all at this location. So now looking at Mississippi, this is a loam soil type. You see that we were around the 80, 90 parts per million at the Virginia location. Here, the Malic 3 extractable K is in that 120 to over 200 parts per million K2O. And this is what makes analyzing this data set so difficult, is because of the different soil types, the different clay mineralogy, the ability to hold potassium on the exchange complex from site to site. I don't even want to really get into Randy's study in Arizona when you start looking at 2-to-1 clays and K fixation, because we really are going to have to, when we publish this data, have our ducks in a row. But as you see, in 2015, we see Darren's, again, into 2016, you start picking out some rates. Even in 2017, you start to see soil test K with the broadcast increase in rate. And it seems like in their soil, in a little heavier texture soil, we start to see that rates. We could pick up the different soil test rates in the injected as well, or he did a better job of hitting maybe where that band was every so often when they sampled this field. The one thing I will say is we don't see a consistent drawdown at either location of soil test case, so we're not mining any potassium from these sites over the three-year study, and which is a little perplexing. I thought we would see some dropping over time, especially in the check plots. But as we look at these check plots, you see that we actually increased from 2015 to 2016, and in 2017 we stayed about the same here. So that's a little perplexing as why we're not seeing a drawdown, and looking at what cotton should be the removal of K versus what's put back in the soil in terms of crop residue. So here's lint yields from Virginia. Just one caveat, there was no rate response in any year. Years broke out as significantly different. Of course, you look at the yield levels at this site. 2017 was our highest yielding, and then 2015, 2016 were about the same. But again, no yield response to application rate or placement. The only difference there was years. When we look at Mississippi data, we actually did have a, when we did the combined analysis, we had an application rate by placement interaction and a year response. So what I did was in Sigma plot, I went ahead and separated years out because I wanted to see where that rate and placement interaction occurred. And what we found was in 2016, there was no significant regression in 2015, between the different placement methods. We had very high yields, around 2,200 pounds of lint at the Mississippi location. 2017, again, we did not see any significant differences between the two placements. But in 2016, we did see significant response with the broadcast potassium at the Mississippi location. However, the injected, we did not see a yield response with the over rates there. So it's a little bit inconclusive, and why we're seeing responses one year, but we don't see responses next year. We're going to really have to dive into weather data and environmental data to see what was going on. In Tennessee was the only site where we had consistent years, so years didn't differ in terms of yield potential across all three of the years in the study. And we had a significant potassium rate response at this location when we did the combined analysis. And you can see there, we averaged about 1.8 pounds of lint per pound of K, and our intercept was about 983 pounds of K per acre when we looked at all 3 years of the study. Again, placement, we had no significant differences in placement and no interactions between application rate, placement, or year at the Tennessee location. When we look at Arizona, this is Randy Norton's data. Years broke out significant, so I broke out the years, and we actually had a rate response at in the 2017 data with 160 units having the highest yields and the 40 unit rate having the lowest yields. But again, it wasn't when I did the linear regression, the slope wasn't significant, so there is no real relationship there other than those two treatments broke out as different. And there's no real biological reason why the 40 unit would yield less than the check plot at this location in that last year. So other sites, we're still putting together complete data sets for Arkansas, Missouri, South Carolina. Lint yield needed to be to evaluate regressive soil test levels at each site to fine-tune soil test recommendations. This is going to be really complex because there's a reason why we have different soil testing methods and protocols and extractants from geographical area to geographical area. Randy is not going to use Malic 3 or Malic 1. We use Malic 1 in Virginia, where the Mid-South and a lot of the southeastern states use Malic 3. So really fine-tuning on and justifying why we use Malic 3 is going to be instrumental in really interpreting this data moving forward. So that's one thing that we're going to have to really look at. So Virginia and Mississippi soil test K levels did not have the magnitude of decrease over time that we were expecting in the check plots. We need to complete other data sets from other sites, look at that, and see what's going on and see if we're having drawdown or any soil K mining across locations. But right now we're not seeing that we're depleting soil K even with zero potassium. Yield response to K application over time was sparse, though Tennessee soils seem to have a fairly responsive site over the 3 years of the study. But I really do think environmental conditions and the amount of rainfall we get, I think if we get a dry year, we're going to see K responses more prevalent in the field than if we get a year like Virginia had this year where we're averaging 1,200 pounds across the state and there was no drought stress. I think that plays a big part, given that we know potassium moves the plant roots by mass flow, not diffusion like phosphorus. So moisture and matrix potential in the soil plays a big role in how potassium is able to find those plant roots. And then we're going to submit this to either Agronomy Journal or SSSAJ for publication when we get it done. I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated, Fluid Fertilizer Foundation, and IPNI for providing the support for this project. Galen Morgan and Texas A&M Soil Testing, they ran all the soil samples, plant tissue samples for us from all locations in both studies. So they really stepped up to the plate. And then all the cooperators on both of these studies with the cotton specialist working group. So with that, I'll take any questions.